So today is the very auspicious day of the appearance of Sita Devi, the wife of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra. It's also the appearance day of Janavi Devi. Appearance day, right? Janavi?
Yes.
So it is an auspicious day for performing a Vaishnav Yajna ceremony. And it is also auspicious that three young devotees from the congregation are taking initiation into the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as received through the Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. And also one devotee is taking second initiation. In 1976 we opened our temple in Hyderabad in South India. So at that time, Srila Prabhupada called a number of local pundits to perform some very elaborate yajna for the installation of the deities and establishing the temple. But he commented that all we really needed was the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. In this age of Kali Yuga, the only auspicious, or shall we say the only really effective yajna is japa yajna or sankirtan yajna. Yajnai sankirtanai prayar yujantihi sumedasaha. This is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, that Krishna Varna Tvisha Krishnam. In Kali Yuga, Krishna comes in the category of Krishna. The incarnation of God is in the category of Krishna. He's Swayam Krishna, the original Godhead. He's not an expansion, but he is the original Krishna, Krishna Varnam. But Tvisha, his skin color, is not black. Krishna also means black, and Akrishna means not black. So Krishna Varna Tvisha Krishnam. Sangopanga Astra Parshadam. Generally, Krishna has two businesses, Paritranaya Sadunam and Vinashaya Chaduskritam. He blesses the devotees and he annihilates the miscreants, the Duskritis, those who are envious of God. So he comes to this world for that purpose. Whenever there is a very heavy decline in religious principles, Adharmasya tadatmanam srijami aham, at that time I manifest myself. Whenever there is great adharma. So his purpose is to bless the devotees and to annihilate the miscreants. But in Kali Yuga, as you know, if Krishna came and annihilated all the miscreants, there would be nobody left. And therefore, his weapons that he uses to annihilate the Duskritis is the holy name, Yajnai Sankirtanai Prayar. And those who have sumedasa, sufficient intelligence, they perform this sankirtan yajna, chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In Kali Yuga, there are no proper sanskars performed at the time of birth of children. Children are begot just like cats and dogs beget their litters, human beings also produce children without any planning, real spiritual planning. So everybody in this age is by birth a sudra and lower. Kirata, Hunanda, Pulinda, Pulkasha. There are so many categories outside of the Varna system of the Vedas. Yavanas, Malechas, etc. In the West, we pride ourselves as being advanced. The way we decide that we're advanced is because we have nice motor cars and big airplanes and television sets and computers and universities and whatever. But according to Vedic calculation, this is simply sudra advancement. Machines. Actually, Kali Yuga is the age of machinery, heavy machinery. Formerly, all of the things that we do with machines were done by mantra. And here an example. We will see that in order to light the fire, we have to use a lighter, whereas Prithu knows how to do it by mantra, with the help from some chemicals. But so we are actually coming from a low background. It hurts to admit it, but what to do? According to the Vedic standard, the spiritual standard, the scriptural standard, we are low-born. Some of us are high-low-born, and some of us are low-low-born, but we have nothing to be proud of. We are conditioned souls. So, even though we are performing these rituals for our purification, we are apt to make so many mistakes, and we have no idea of the elaborate nature of Vedic rituals. This is just a tiny little token ritual for this initiation ceremony. And nevertheless, even though we're unqualified for all these things, but we have become qualified because we have been initiated by a pure devotee of Krishna into the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, and we are following the Bhagavat Vichar, Panchartriki Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi. So we are following Bhagavat Vidhi, where the rituals are minimized, and the essence is that we engage our body, mind, and words in the service of Krishna, all of our time and our energy. Now I'm going to read just a few quotations from Srila Prabhupada from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I can see that all of you here are sincere souls, so you won't fall asleep while I'm reading, but you'll try to hear because it's instructive. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 4, Madhavendra Puri's devotional service.
Tanratani mantra loyala jatana karina chalila dakshine pure tanre diksha dina. Advaitacharya begged to be initiated by Madhavendra Puri. After initiating him, Madhavendra Puri started for South India. It's interesting that, and this is a point that I like to stress, the desire must be there on the part of the disciple to purify his life, and he should have a strong desire to do that. Otherwise, the process of initiation will have very little meaning if it's just some social thing that you do to get a name, a spiritual name. You've been around for 3 years and all your friends have spiritual names, so, you know, it doesn't look good if you don't have one. So you find someone who you can impress for a few months and then you take initiation. No, there should be a real strong desire to purify one's life. And literally, it's not the spiritual master's duty, and rather the spiritual master is forbidden to canvass for disciples. That will be the cause of his own fall down. The spiritual master is not anxious for his own prestige to increase his disciples. He agrees to do the service, even though it may mean some risk on his part. But he won't ask people to be initiated by himself, but rather the disciple has to ask, and ask with feeling. It should mean something. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that Advaita Acharya took initiation from Madhavendra Puri, who was a sannyasi in the disciplic succession of Madhavendra Puri. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kiva Vipra Kiva Nyasi Shudra Kene Noi Jai Krishna Tattaveta Sei Guru Hoy. A person may be a brahmana, a sannyasi, a sudra, or whatever, but if he is well conversant in the science of Krishna, he can become a guru. Madhya 8:128. This statement is supported by Madhavendra Puri. According to the Pancharatra injunction, only a householder, brahmana, can initiate. So some people think that even amongst some people who have taken initiation in ISKCON, they think that we are not qualified to give initiation. There's a theory like that. And only an uttama adhikari can give diksha. Or not even actually uttama adhikari, but more an uttama bhagavat or a maha bhagavat can give initiation. Because uttama adhikari has a special meaning. Uttama adhikari means one who is given the adhikar. He's given the right, or he's given the order to become uttama, or highly advanced. It does not mean that he has already manifested all the symptoms of a Mahabhagavat, who is also an uttama adhikari. But that theory is there, but here Prabhupada is stating, and it was formerly the custom, that sannyasis would travel and preach, and they would be fully supported because their preaching was dynamic and essential for society. But they didn't take disciples because it was a botheration. It was a hindrance. It was, it could slow them down. And even otherwise, a disciple should have constant association with his spiritual master. So grihasthas would give initiation. And not only were grihasthas the ones who took disciples, but even madhyam adhikaris, because an uttam bhagavat, he already sees that everyone's a pure devotee. So it was the question of initiating people. He may sometimes come down from his exalted platform, and he may act like a madhyama adhikari. If that's the case, that he's acting like a madhyama adhikari,
then who is going to recognize him as an Uttam Bhagavat? He leaves a few hints and tracks or trails or something? No, he acts like on the level of a Madhyam Adhikari. And Madhyam Adhikari is a very exalted platform. So here in this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is indicating that a sannyasi can take disciples. Although we kind of think that, oh, only sannyasis can take disciples. But actually, it doesn't matter whether one is a brahmana or a sudra or a nyasi, a sannyasi. Jai Krishna Tattvaveta. If he knows the science of Krishna, then he is a guru. When a person is initiated, it is assumed that he has become a brahmana. Without being initiated by a proper brahmana, one cannot be converted into a brahmana. In other words, unless one is a brahmana, he cannot make another a brahmana. The grihastha brahmana partaking of the Varnashram Dharma institution can secure various types of paraphernalia to worship the Lord through his honest labor. Actually, people beg to be initiated by these householder brahmanas just to become successful in the Varnashram institution or to become free from material desires. It is therefore necessary for a spiritual master in the grihastha ashram to be a strict Vaishnava. A spiritual master from the sannyas order has very little opportunity to perform archana or deity worship. But when one accepts a spiritual master from the transcendental sannyasis, the principle of deity worship is not at all neglected. To implement this conclusion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us his opinion in the verse Kiva Vipra Kiva Nyasi. This indicates that the Lord understood the weakness of society in its maintaining that only a grihastha brahmana should be a spiritual master. Only then can one become spiritual. Diksha means initiating a disciple with transcendental knowledge. Diksha means initiating a disciple with transcendental knowledge by which he becomes freed from all material contamination. So the meaning of initiation, tatha diksha vidanena, it means transcendental sambandha gyan, or transcendental knowledge by which one can understand his relationship with Krishna. And that is the real essence. Here's another verse, the same verse, Kiva Nyasi, Kiva Vipra verse from Madhya Lila. Whether one is a brahmana, sannyasi, or a sudra, regardless of whatever he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. This verse is very important to the Krishna consciousness movement. In his Amrita Pravaha Bhasya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that one should not think that because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born a brahmana and was situated in the topmost spiritual order as a sannyasi, it was improper for him to receive instructions from Srila Ramananda Roy, who belonged to the Sudra caste. So it's a very, probably one of the high points of the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, is this discussion between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was acting like the student. He was asking questions. He was appreciating the knowledge of Ramananda Roy and glorifying him in so many ways. And one may ask, how is this possible? A brahmana, a sannyasi, being instructed by a sudra and a king. Actually, he was born in a sudra family, but he was acting like a king, and he was a householder. So how is this possible? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Ramananda Roy as one of his most confidential associates. And therefore, when Srila Prabhupada was criticized by his god brothers for initiating us, Malechas, Yavanas, etc., into Krishna consciousness, he replied very strongly that this is in our line. And the important point is our sincerity to change. We have a low birth, but by the power of the holy name, one can eradicate or cleanse all sin. More sin than it's possible to commit. That's how potent. In other words, I don't think you can exaggerate that statement anymore. You can't expand that statement. The holy name is so powerful that you can't commit more sin than the holy name can purify you of. So it is the most important thing, and if we receive this holy name in the proper way from the proper Vaishnav Sampradaya, then even though we are fallen, and even though our minds are polluted and perverted, if we practice abhyasena tu kaunteya, if we practice chanting, if we remain enthusiastic and patient, determined, just for a short period of time, one lifetime is not a long time, but if we sincerely practice this chanting process, then our lives can be totally rectified. Not even that we come to become brahmanas. You can go back to Godhead, to the spiritual world, in one lifetime if you sincerely practice this chanting. There are a few qualifications or few things that we have to avoid. There are 10 offenses in chanting the holy names, and even though we're being initiated and going through the fire sacrifice and receiving beads and whatnot, but we're still going to struggle in our spiritual lives. Initiation does help. It's the formalization of your connection. It's psychologically, it fixes your mind, and establishes your connection with Krishna formally. But Bahu Janma Kari Yadi Shravana Kirtana Tabuta Napai Krishna Pade Premadani. You can, after this initiation ceremony, you can go on chanting for many, many more lifetimes and not make any advancement. I'll say that again. You can go on chanting for many, many more lifetimes and not make very much advancement. There's no mechanical way to enter into the kingdom of God. It's got to come from your heart. You've got to tatra lolyam api ekalam mulyam, and you have to avoid the offenses that are there. You have to work on avoiding offenses. So the 10 offenses to chanting the holy names, it's interesting, they're mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this verse. Who should chant Hare Krishna? Who can get success from chanting? And it's stated, etan nirvidyamananam ichatam akutobayam yoginam nirpanirnitam harir namanu kirtanam. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So this is also stated in another verse, akama sarvakamo va moksha kamo daradi tibrena bhakti yogena. This tibra bhakti means, again, if you want it, it's yours. It's that easy, and it's that difficult. If you want it, it's yours. If you want success, then you'll get it. And if you're not getting success, you have no one else to blame but yourself. If you have all material desires, there's no exception. You can't say that my case is special. Once a devotee, I don't know whether it was for him and Prabhupada or whether it was for all the other people watching, because he's a nice devotee, but he tends to do this. So he said, Prabhupada, I'm so fallen. I'm the most fallen, he said. Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. I'm the most fallen. And he said it, you know, like 3 or 4 times. And Prabhupada turned to him and said, you're not the most of anything. You're simply insignificant. So, that's our condition. We're insignificant, and we don't have a special case where our offenses are so prohibitive that we can't achieve success. If we want success, we can achieve it. Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udaridhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So the 10 offenses that you have to avoid are mentioned in the purport here. Of course, the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord who are engaged in propagating the glories of the Lord. So, the deity worship is important, and we have pujaris and pundits who do the deity worship. It helps us to become initiated, to become purified, and to keep our minds focused. But Prabhupada gave special emphasis to his preachers. And there are many kinds of preachers, from book distributors to life membership makers to congregational preachers to prison ministry preachers. There's so many different kinds of preachers, not only one kind of preacher. Everybody, even there are pujari preachers. But Prabhupada did say that the pujaris should be very careful to offer respect to those who are going out and preaching. They should be careful to respect them and not commit any offenses. So there are also many devotees, because we're living in a community together, there's bound to be some friction. We're not perfect. We've brought a lot of baggage with us coming to this movement from our past lives and our past life in this life, our purvashram. And associating together closely, there's bound to be some friction. There will be problems. There has been problems. There are problems. And there will be problems. This is not the kingdom of God, Goloka Vrindavan. It's Gokula. It's low. Goloka is high and Gokula is low. So that means that there will be problems that we have to deal with. And we may sometimes find in ourselves a tendency to be critical. But one of the qualifications of becoming accepted by Krishna is to get free from this propensity to criticize others. Sarvam api mam prithivim sasishat, in that first verse of the Nectar of Instruction, says one who is free from the propensity to criticize others, Prabhupada translates in that way, he is qualified to make disciples all over the world. And that actually goes for everybody. So we should not criticize in any way the preachers. We should be very careful. If there's some mistake or some problem, we may not ignore it. We may humbly try to bring it to the attention of the authorities. But wasting your time and fault-finding and backbiting and planning to overthrow and petty party spirit will ruin our institution. Petty intrigue. We don't need this. Kick it out. It's a waste of energy. The second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. You find this in India, but we also, of course, we may not have a background of worshiping demigods, so there's no problem there. But we should also understand that the chanting of the holy names and the worship of Krishna is the topmost platform that we're being introduced to. There's nothing superior or equal. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. The spiritual master should not be accepted as just an ordinary person, one of the boys, or, you know, fallible in every way. This is an interesting concept. Srila Prabhupada said about his spiritual master, he said, my spiritual master was right even when he was wrong. Okay. He was right even when he was wrong. So, I'm sure in the course of my lecture, I've made a few mistakes. I quoted some. We see our spiritual master as being a devotee of the Lord through whom Krishna will take the trouble to come to me. Krishna will make it his business to manifest himself through this devotee who is trying his best to follow his spiritual master. That's a transcendental process. It's a mystical process. You can't examine it on an operating table. You can't dissect it and put it in categories and justify it by your logic and reason. It's Krishna's arrangement, how he teaches his devotees. He does it through his devotees. So one should take the orders of the spiritual master very seriously, especially the general orders to chant 16 rounds, to follow the four regulative principles, to rise early for Mangalarti. If one can't follow the orders of the spiritual master, there are two things. If one can't follow, then... if one is not determined to follow, then one shouldn't take initiation, because this is an offense. And if you go on committing the offense, then you're not going to make progress. So the whole thing is a sham. It's a waste of time. So you should be determined to execute the orders of the spiritual master, whatever it takes to overcome any obstacles. And one should appreciate that Krishna is the doer, Krishna is the controller, and by following the orders, or attempting to follow the orders of the spiritual master, Krishna will help you. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures, or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. Sadhu, Guru, and Shastra, these are our gurus, these are our guidelines for becoming Krishna conscious. We haven't invented this process, it's not our imagination. There's no need to invent or concoct. The Absolute Truth is not something that was newly discovered in South India somewhere, discovered in Berkeley, California. We just discovered the Absolute Truth in our laboratory. It's not like that. The Absolute Truth is and has been the Absolute Truth since time immemorial. And Krishna, the Absolute Truth, he has revealed himself time and time and time again. And his message has been passed on by Shruti, by hearing, guru, disciple, and finally in Kali Yuga by writing, by Smriti, and by recorded knowledge. It's a little more dangerous, recorded knowledge, and it means that we're less intelligent. The fact that we have to take shelter of books means we can't remember something by hearing. And that also means that
it can be misinterpreted. It can be changed. So we have to receive the knowledge in the proper way and not add or subtract anything, but follow it as we are hearing it from our spiritual authorities. And we respect that, and we don't commit any offenses against the minimizing the potency of the Vedic literatures. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. Again, pathakam pathaki naraha. One can eradicate more sin than is possible to commit. Oh, that couldn't be true. That must be just exaggeration. It's not exaggeration. And we have to be simple enough in heart just to accept it. If we're sophisticated and doubt the scriptures, we'll have a little bit of trouble. Maybe it'll take a little longer to see the truth. The truth is there. The truth will be revealed. You can understand it by hearing and make progress, or you can understand it by trying to do some research and or giving a little more time by experiencing, going through your own experiences. You could have accepted it in the beginning, but if you want to try and experience it more to your satisfaction, it'll take you a little longer. You'll come to the same conclusion. But we should be careful about the reverence that we give to the glories of the holy name. And sixth offense is to give some interpretation. I know I did it, and probably some of you did it too. When I came to Hare Krishna movement, I chanted Hare Krishna and thought, you chant until you become Krishna. That was my interpretation. Krishna, 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 and I am Krishna. It's not a fact. You never become Krishna because you never were Krishna, and you can't become him. Krishna was God even in this material world from the time of his birth. And throughout his life, he manifests so many wonderful pastimes that none of us could even think of imitating. Even recently, there was some article in the independent newspaper of London where some envious reporter attended the Delhi temple opening, and I don't know what happened, but she was very, very critical, and she referred to Krishna as the Hindu god of amorous love affairs. And people make that mistake. They've heard it and they pass it on, but they don't accept fully, yes, Krishna is the god of love, that's right, and he had 16,108 wives and provided a palace for each one of them, and let's see you even provide one palace for one wife, you rascal. They can't do that. You know. So the fact that Krishna did that means that he's God. Nobody can imitate his pastimes. So we should be very, very careful about putting our own concoction or imagination onto the holy name. Committing sin against on the strength of chanting the holy names, one of the most common and dangerous of the offenses, taking casually the holy name, chanting and then thinking it's all right for me to be lax because I'm a devotee and I'm chanting, or you know, I'm chanting something. I may not be chanting 60, but I'm chanting the holy name. I've seen this as we've grown, as the society grows, there will be more and more people joining, and there's a possibility that some of the people who join won't be as serious as we hope for. So people may do this. They may think that I can commit sin. I can
watch television. I can engage in illicit sex, even with illicit sex with one's wife is dangerous. I remember the Pope. He quoted from the Bible. He got great flack. He was attacked for this, but he quoted from the Bible that a husband should not look lustfully at his wife, at his own wife. He shouldn't look at her lustfully. And, you know, especially in Europe and America, all of the, you know, a number of Catholics sent complaints that this is too harsh or too severe. But it is a fact that we have to be of good character, and we should not think that just because I've been initiated, therefore I can become lax in the principles. You lose the meaning of your initiation. In fact, at one point, Prabhupada said that those who were initiated and who have ceased to follow the principles or ceased to chant properly, their names should be taken back. Their initiation should be revoked. So he never followed up on that, but still, we should all be careful and be as vigilant as we possibly can, as serious. To consider the chanting to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. It's an offense. It's not just another religious process. It's not like anything else at all. It's not like doing arti. It's not like performing mass. It's not like... You can't compare it. It is transcendental, pure, essential, transcendental energy. Binatvam nama nami no. There's no difference between Krishna and his name. Krishna is his name. Krishna is not in his name. Krishna is his name. It's not that the name is separate and Krishna's inside. The name, Krishna, that's Krishna. Sound, it's the sound Krishna. The sight Krishna is Shyam Sundar. The sound Krishna, that's it. Krishna pronounced or chanted purely. So don't make that mistake. Ninth offense is to instruct the faithless persons again in the intimate glories of the holy name. Obviously, we have to instruct so many people, and in a group that we instruct, there may be faithless persons. So our preaching should be in general, how nice chanting is, or how this is the proper way to achieve God realization. But there should be nothing like discussing the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Gopi Leela pastimes, and other intimate glories of Krishna and his devotees in the holy name. And the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting or to maintain material attachments while understanding so many instructions in the matter. You have to, as we were reading the other day, a devotee wants to develop good qualities. A devotee is trying to become a gentleman. And we've heard that if you just chant Hare Krishna, yashyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana, sarvaya gunais tatra mahasate samasate sura, that one will develop all the good qualities of the demigods. So all I have to do is chant. That's all I have to do, chant. The rest of the time I can just go to sleep. You know? Chant. No. You have to make some effort to be humble. There are extra things, other things that you can do to develop good qualities. You can practice tolerance. There's so many things that can help you to increase your tolerance, your patience. You can practice austerity of the mind by speaking only essentially. You can reward yourself when you are able to control your anger and berate yourself a little bit and perform some extra austerity when you lose control of your anger. When you lose control of your senses in some way, you slip. So, perform some austerity. Prabhupada gave some indications in this regard. Different devotees put different problems to him. They had made some offense, and Prabhupada said, okay, you can fast one day. So, you have to make an extra effort, and if you're not prepared to cut the knot of material attachment, if you are very casual in chanting, and you not, the word here is try. Try, try, try. Keep on trying. Don't ever give up trying. Don't ever become cynical or pessimistic. Cynicism, pessimism, negativism, these are great enemies in this Kali Yuga. We don't have the mental capacity to deal with these. We should just reject them out of hand. Better to be an optimist, do the right things, and be an optimist. One of the six symptoms of surrender is to feel that the Lord will bestow His mercy on me very soon. One should think like that. If you follow, you will get the Lord's mercy. So, don't take this last instruction lightly. You have to be attentive to the process. Also, another addendum to this is to be inattentive while chanting the holy names. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalamastiram. What is that? Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalamastiram tatastato niyamyaid. Tad, yamyai tad, tasmat etam, something. Anyway, one has to bring the mind back under the control of the self. Wherever the mind wanders, you have to bring him back. You will be inattentive. Nobody expects you to be perfect right away. But you want to become perfect, so accept the process of becoming perfect. Krishna consciousness is a process of becoming Krishna conscious. It's constantly becoming. You can always get better and better and better. Even after you come to the Brahman platform, you get better and better and better. And even after you attain Krishna prema, you can still get better and better and better. So fix your mind to the process of getting better. Always getting better. And especially in this chanting, there's no doubt. I'm inattentive while chanting, and I'm trying to get better. So you must also be. Otherwise I should be taking initiation from you. So we have to constantly fix ourselves, and don't lose hope, keep trying, and use your passion and anger to kick out Maya. If you're a kickboxer or a judo karate expert or something, you know, get in a dark room, get in a room somewhere where no one can see you and start kicking away at Maya. Proverbial Maya. Bhaktisiddhanta just used a stick and a broom. But you can use all the tricks you know. He didn't know about taekwondo or whatever. So, you know, get angry, scream, yell, fight, but never lie down, because Krishna will help you. So, okay, today, as I said, is the appearance of Sita Devi and Janavi Devi, and okay, so we'll give some names to some people. Let's see. I guess you say Yanni. I would say Johnny. It's the ideas you offer obeisances, but because it's tough, I think, yeah, you can just offer obeisances straight on. more of this. Loudly, you say loudly. So, Yani Jani, what are the four principles? Loudly you can repeat so everyone can hear them. You're going to have Krishna conscious children once a month. Well, that's... I'm all for that. Okay. Or Coca-Cola. Okay. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Unless you're going to win, if you're sure. Okay. What else? Okay, that's a minimum. 16 is a minimum. If you're inspired, you can do 32. I give you my permission. Today we are taking initiation into the chanting of the holy names. We are accepting Diksha from a member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. In Africa, there's a saying that it takes a village, a whole village, to raise one child. So we also say it takes a whole institution to raise one disciple. You are being initiated as a siksha disciple of Srila Prabhupada. You're now Srila Prabhupada's disciple, siksha disciple. And you are Nikhilananda Prabhu's disciple. He's giving you siksha. And there are many Vaishnavas, and they're all giving you nice siksha, and they are to be treated respectfully just as you would treat your diksha guru. There's no difference. They're on the same platform. So we have different gurus, Vajma Pradarshak Guru. We offer respect to the person who first brought us to Krishna consciousness. Even he's not with us anymore, but the fact that he gave us some instruction, we're indebted to him, and mentally we can offer respect. But I really want you all to understand that you have to take responsibility for your spiritual life. And you have to accept a bona fide spiritual master, Diksha Guru. But your relationship is with Krishna. This is not a cult where there's a cult leader. The spiritual master is our teacher. And as long as he's teaching us, he is our guru. But we have many gurus, and we're well protected in every way. No one should feel any anxiety about taking initiation. So, today is Sita Devi's appearance day, and Jani, naturally, his new name is Janaka Maharaj Das. Take him half an hour to put in his bead bag. Offer your obeisances loudly. No, that's all right. That's all right. Go through the whole Prema Dvani. Okay, Sabina. So, Sabina, what are the... You remember them, the four regulative principles? Go ahead. Okay, and of course, meat, fish, and eggs, what we're really saying is one should eat only Krishna prasadam, or food offered to the Lord. And anyway, so your husband is Janaka Maharaj Das, and today's the appearance of Sita Devi. So your name is Sita Devi Dasi. Now, see, I'm an old man now, becoming an old man. Yeah, okay, I'm becoming an old man. And, of course, I'm a sannyasi. I didn't get married at any time, and somehow or other. And it's not really my business, it's not my topmost business to get entangled with householders, but because I'm sort of like father of my disciples, they're young enough to be my children, I have to give some advice from just my study and my hearing. I would say, if I have any qualification, it is that I've lived in India for close to 27 years, and I've seen a lot of Indian culture. And they're successful in many ways. One way that they're successful is in their family lives. And so I have to advise everybody. The husbands should be honorable, respectable. They should treat their wives with reverence. And there are many duties that a husband should perform to protect his wife and serve his wife. And similarly, a wife like Sita Devi, she was so respectful to her husband, Lord Rama. They were setting an example for us. Lord Rama's incarnation as king was to set an example for everyone. What is a perfect kingdom? And his wife, Lakshmi, Sita, she also set the example of a perfect wife. So she was completely submissive to, completely in love with, and completely dedicated to her husband. Not even for many reasons. Of course, Lord Ramchandra is the most attractive personality, but even from the point of view of it being her religious dharma, and just as much as chanting the holy names of Krishna is the yuga dharma. So we chant Hare Krishna. We don't chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, the Panchatattva Maha Mantra. We do once, but the yuga dharma is Hare Krishna mantra. So similarly, in Vedic dharma, a wife's of the process by which a wife can make rapid spiritual advancement is to serve her husband. And irregardless of the condition in the house, if she does that, she makes spiritual progress and goes back to Godhead with her, without her husband. I mean, hopefully they'll both go back together. But, I'm not focusing on this because I'm giving special instruction to Janaka Maharaj and Sita Devi, but this is for all of the young devotees here who are wondering how on earth we can be happy in this world and practice Krishna consciousness and be successful. It's my advice to all of you, and you know, I'm sorry if it's not appreciated, but it's coming from my heart, and that's all I know. So, thank you very much, and good luck to you. So, now we have Dayan. hope I'll get that right. Dayan, right? Okay. Okay. I'm the fundraising minister. Okay. We want to build the Mayapur temple and we require about $300 million in the next couple of years. So, you know, one of the first disciples from Croatia, he got the name Mayapur Das. And recently I initiated a boy from Croatia. He got the name Adbhuta Haridas, because the Mayapur temple is Adbhuta Mandir. So anyway, we need money to do this service. And so Dan's new name is Dhananjaya Das, means conqueror of wealth, or Dhananjaya Das is studying agriculture. So the best wealth is agriculture. So it's quite appropriate. Hare Krishna. What are the four regulative principles? If you bring money, it doesn't matter, but... Okay. Bringing money is so important that... No, I better not say that. Anyway, the only way we'll be able to attract Lakshmi is if we're attached to Krishna. There's no material formula for us building this temple, because it's practically an impossible task considering our few thousand devotees we have and the resources that we have. But the enthusiasm and the determination that we have, that will carry us through, the vision that we have. And this is the history of society, whether it be the Greeks. They had no population base. They didn't have resources. Even today, Greece is one of the poorer countries in the world, and in those days it was also. But Greeks at that time had a vision of a great culture. In fact, they had a connection with India. That's where they got their knowledge from. The original Greeks were also travelers, Phoenicians. And the Phoenicians would do trade with India and then do trade with Greece. And they carried Indian culture to Italy and to Greece specifically. And by that philosophy, the Greeks became somewhat enlightened. They developed a vision of a great culture. They were determined to develop that vision. And you see the remnants there today of huge buildings like the Parthenon, magnificent building that came out of a group of people who just had a strong vision and a desire to fulfill that vision. So we can also do anything we want to do to please our spiritual master and to please Krishna. We have the determination. So, anyway, Dhananjaya, thank you. Hare Krishna.